News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
On October 7th, Sharon Lifshitz's parents were kidnapped from Israel by members of Hamas. Her mother was released 2 weeks later, but tragically her father's body was returned to Israel last February. And now she is urging the Israeli government not to annex Gaza as they will be risking the lives of the remaining hostages. And Sharon joins me now. Good morning to you, Sharon. I want to talk to you about your views on I suppose, the Israeli government and their policy in Gaza shortly. But first of all, can we go back to October 7th, that day when both your parents were kidnapped in that attack? I can only imagine how shocking that must have been.
Yeah, you know, I think we have been running for so long that we sometimes really forget the beginning. And so many details are almost blurred in my mind. But on that day, I was in London, or I was going on a day trip from London to York when I heard that something happened. By then, there was no contact with my parents, and they just disappeared. And in the hours that followed, we had a series of such horrific things happening, the execution live on social media of my childhood carer, mother of a friend of mine, the continuous news about more and more people that are dead. The kibbutz was taken over. I saw Al Jazeera, so-called journalist, outside my parents' home about 100 meters from them, saying that they have conquered the kibbutz. It was such a horrific day, and the days that follows were days when we were slowly and weeks finding more and more people. 64 members of my community died on that day, were murdered brutally or taken hostage, another 77 taken hostage, and one in four was taken hostage or murdered. My mom returned after 17 days, but my father died, was murdered in captivity, and returned to us 502 days later.
An extraordinary thing to happen to any individual family, but the fact that it happened to so many families and indeed your whole community, do you think that event, that it is driving the mindset of a lot of where Israelis are still at in terms about how they feel about Gaza?
Absolutely. You know, it's a life-changing trauma. I think it's really hard to explain the trauma that is so personal and so collectively big. And it's the biggest fear for so many people. And it really drives the way people in Israel feel their capacity for compassion to the other side, the level of trust between they feel towards our Palestinian neighbors is totally changed by that. And it's our tragedy because we really, through the dedicated work of fanatics, of extremists, we are being drawn further and further apart. And I know, because I know many Palestinian people, that they are people that also wish for a way forward that accommodate both people. So this is not the question for me, but the question is, how do we overcome so much hate, so much extremism, so much fanaticism? And how do we, above all, return our loved ones? Because at this point in Gaza, four members of my community that are alive and five that are dead. And so for us, this is not over in any way, shape or form.
Your dad, Oded, he was a journalist himself and he was a campaigner for peace. And in fact, he was on very good terms with Palestinians. He used to drive sick Palestinians to hospitals, those types of things. And in his campaign for Palestinian rights, which was something he actually did, he met with people like Yasser Arafat and things like that. Does that influence you still in your own personal view of the conflict between Israel and Palestine?
Yes, I think my father really wanted to do the right thing, meaning to find, he really was and is and died as a Zionist. But people reduce Zionism to one point of view, and really there were always and still are different ways of being a Zionist, different way of being a pro-Israel. My father, and he's not the only one, there are many more, believed in a two-state solution, believed we must find a way to live in peace. And he didn't just believe, he worked at it. He worked at it as an advocate, as a journalist, and he worked at it at a personal level of doing something for our neighbors, of showing them that we care. And I think this level of working both on the small personal level and trying to affect reality is very much part of what drives me now, because I know, for first of all, that no hostages will come back, not the last hostages will come back without a comprehensive deal. And the terms of that deal has not changed from the beginning. They are about the ending of this horrific war and the withdrawal of Israel from Gaza. And only then the last hostages will come back. And Israel demands that Hamas, the most horrific of terrorist organizations that is only surpassed by the Islamic Jihad and the Salafis, other organizations in Gaza, are removed from power, have nothing to do with the day after. And so I know that he would have looked at the big picture. He would have hoped that we work with moderate Palestinian and Arab forces to bring about the end of this war.
Okay. You're talking about moderate Palestinians and the importance of maybe hearing those voices. Could the same be said about Israelis, that currently the Netanyahu government, that its position on Gaza is quite extreme, and that's those two polarized positions, the more hard right Israeli view and the Hamas, that hardened extremism from Hamas, this is the issue, that these two sort of polar opposite groups have caused such division, and that's where we're at now.
I absolutely feel that on core issue, while I totally separate between them and I do not compare between them, not at all, I do believe that both nations are being led by extremists that do not want a solution. And they are being aided and abetted, but by a lot of voices from Europe and around the world that also do not want a solution that accommodate for both people. And they want a justice, they want historical justice. But the truth of the matter is that at the end of the day, they are about as much Palestinians and as much Israelis. And while I absolutely condone any attempt to remove the Palestinians from Palestine, I also do not share any sympathy to people who suggest that the Israelis will be gone. I think our job, our spiritual job, is to find a way of living together. They are our most bitter enemy. It will take generations, but it would happen in the end.
Okay. Sharon, can I ask you then, when you talk about that those extremes are on both sides, and I know you're not comparing them, but that those extremes exist and that's part of the issue. When you hear about the full annexation of Gaza or the invasion of Gaza City or Israel occupying Gaza, those types of things that we're hearing from the Netanyahu government, I suppose escalation and expansion of Israel's military operations in Gaza. How do you feel about that?
Rage. Rage far and foremost, because even the head of the IDF is saying that will lead to the death of the hostages. Rage because this is against the expressed wish of the majority of Israelis in every polling that has been taken over the last 600 days. And so it is against the wish of his own people, this government is acting, and against the advice of the IDF. Combine those and there's no reason to support this mad idea. I do believe that this is a kind of hardening of the line and that it might not happen in the end. But I'm reminding myself that on other junction at the end of the first deal in November 23, the second deal in January 25, there was a kind of talk about things not happening, returning to fighting, not happening. And then it did happen. So we must remain very vigilant. I know that in Israel, tens of thousands are demonstrating every week and every day for this not to happen. There are huge demonstrations taking place against that. And I am not optimistic, but feeling that this fight is worth fighting for.
Do you believe that should the military operation within Gaza by Israel escalate, that will spell likely death for the remaining hostages, who we believe there could be at least 20 of them alive?
Look at the facts. We know that last August, six of them were murdered when the army advanced. We know that in February 2024, five of the hostages for my kibbutz, my fathers, as I call them, were killed when the army advanced. So the facts are working against us. We know 42 hostages, including my father, were murdered in captivity. So we don't have the luxury of, being optimistic about the prospects for the hostages that are in horrific situation. We saw Eviatar, we saw Rom. We know that they are being strategically starved by Hamas. Hamas has plenty of food for its own people, so it is a strategy. We know that they are in horrific conditions that no one can even imagine. And so we don't know how much more they can hold, and we don't know how the people looking after them, if you can call that looking after, torturing them, keeping them. We know from hostages that returned that many of them were shown no kindness whatsoever.
We have seen those videos of hostages in appalling conditions. Your mum obviously was released quite quickly after 17 days, which 17 days I'm sure felt like a lifetime, but compared to some of the families waiting for loved ones now, it was relatively quickly. How is she?
My mom is came back with her inner core so strong, her faith in what is right so strong. She headed a demonstration a week ago calling for the end of the war. She visited the Knesset this week, the Israeli parliament, and stood there in one of the committees and spoke truth to power in a way that is just so inspiring from a woman which in a couple of weeks will be 87. She knows what's right. She's fighting for the children she brought up that are held now in captivity. She lost more than you can imagine, and it's sometimes you knock against the trauma and you just look at this void and you look at this pain and it's almost unbearable. And then you remember that, there are people that really have to be rescued.
Your mum, when she was in captivity, she met quite senior members of Hamas. She was in those tunnels that we've seen recently in our news feeds as well. Does she often speak, or does she ever speak about that period?
She speaks about it. She speaks to me about it quite a lot. She has met Sinwar when he was still alive. And she has talked back to him too. I think she feels very hurt by the fact that we were really a community that sought ways of living together. And we were betrayed so badly. That's something that really sits on her mind. And she feels she was betrayed by the Israeli government, by the fact the army didn't come. And she feels really betrayed by our neighbors, the Palestinians, with whom she and my father sought to make relationship over many years. But in the last count, she always also said that we have no way of living here if we are not to reach long-term agreements. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable because it doesn't just clean over it. The trauma of losing 63 members of a very small community and having dozens that have been taken hostage for weeks and months and years. And they too need so much support when they're coming back, and the trauma of being part of that community. It's not easy to just wash it over and say, let's do this or let's do that.
Can I ask you a last question, Sharon? I obviously, your community was devastated on October 7th, and your own family have suffered hugely. Do you still, or can you still find within your heart an ability to feel sympathy for the suffering of those Palestinians who have lost family members and who are suffering in Gaza currently?
Yeah, I do. I stand on my father's grave and I hear the bombing and the shooting, you know, the sound carried from the fields. And it's just so many circles of pain and suffering. And I cannot disconnect from it. I cannot see that it is until we stop hurting each other that we can find a way of living together. And that's quite a different work to the work of saying who is to blame, but it's not less important. I don't always reach the same conclusion as every poor Palestinians in Ireland or the UK, but I think for us it's real. We are here, you know, we hear it. I spend quite a bit of time now in the south of Israel, and you live with those bombs and you feel the fighting, you feel the pain, you feel the heat, you know, just the sheer survival, how hellish it must be. And I really wish the Palestinians are better than they have at the moment and better leadership, because with this, it brought them, you know, it made them do the worst committed offenses possible, some of them, the Hamas and Jihad, and it made them suffer beyond recognition. Yep. And may that be the worst of it. That's what makes me wake up in the morning, and it keeps getting worse.
Sharon, thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about your own experience and your views. That is Sharon Lifshitz there, whose parents were both kidnapped on October 7th and whose mum is still surviving. Thank you very much for joining us, Sharon. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.